You're listening to Living Full Out with Nancy Soleri. Nancy is here as a guide to show you how to rise above obstacles and savor each moment. If you have a question, call in live at 800-333-0001. That's 800-333-0001. And now, here's Nancy.
Hello and welcome to the Living Full Out Show. My name is Nancy Soleri, and today we're going to be talking about choosing to love. That's right, it is a choice. We meet a lot of people in our life, and sometimes we got to shake it up. We got to let people go that don't serve our overall life cause and what we're trying to achieve. And other times, we can choose to love. We can say, you know what, goodbye past. I am going to love big. And remember that there's different kinds of love, right? There's soulmates, there's best friends, there's the love of parents and kids and siblings, there's twin flame love. So let's explore all of that today and see where you fit in all this conversation on love today. And also stay with us in our next segment. We're going to be joined by Trish Kendall, and she too had to choose to love after being sexually abused and really feeling neglected, turning to drugs to mask all that pain. But she made a decision. You know what? I'm going to leave the past in the past and choose love. So it's very inspirational. Stay tuned for that. Also, if you want to hear today's show again, make sure that you go to livingfullout.com. All of our episodes will be waiting there for you. And we try to bring guests every week that really demonstrate what it means to live full out, but also pick themes that we know that all of you are dealing with day in and day out. Now, I'm getting word from our producer that we do have a listener on the line. We're going to go check in with them. Hello, welcome to the Living Full Out Show.
Hi, my name is Zara, and I have a question.
Yes, how can I help you?
How do I start my life and take on these huge responsibilities after graduation? What are the first steps into adulthood?
Well, those are good questions. Let me ask you a question. Graduation is one of those things that you've done before, right? Because you went from elementary school to middle school to high school.
Yes.
And remember how every time you went to the next level, maybe you kind of adjusted your image a bit, right? You maybe bought some new clothes, right? Maybe you got a new haircut. Maybe you thought, you know what, I'm going to read a few more books over the summer. Or, you know, this year, I'm going to get a tutor, right? So when you graduate from college, it's actually not much different. The only thing is now you're going to go into the university of life, which personally I think is a lot more fun. But you're going to want to do all the same things you've done over time. Get yourself some new clothes to go with that profession that you want to do. Get yourself that new haircut. You know, start considering, okay, I learned all I could at the university level, but you know what? I wish I had dot, dot, dot. Maybe that's taking an additional writing course. Maybe that's learning a second language. Maybe that's considering getting a certification beyond your degree. So it's kind of exciting, right? Because when you graduate from anything, it's like, yay, I graduated. But then you have to be arms wide open for more learning. And I'm just curious, what is your degree in? What would you like to do one day?
My degree is in psychology.
In psychology, I got that too. I love psychology. And so if you were to close your eyes and dream at night of what you want to be one day, what is that? Is that a therapist? Is that a social worker? What would that be?
I would want to be a social worker, you know.
Okay, good choice, right? We need more of you out there. So maybe what you want to consider as a first step after that haircut, after getting, you know, some new clothes, being that social worker that you are, the first step is to be that person, to be that professional. They call that the as-if factor. You may not have the job yet. You may not have the clients yet. But that is what you got a degree in, and you want to take that on. That's what you are. You're already it. So get all the things that you need to be that profession. Then what you might also want to consider is contacting a social worker in your local area. Now, you could also do this remotely. So if you go on LinkedIn and find someone who's a social worker that you admire, you can do that too. But if you can meet someone locally in your area, I would pick anywhere between 1 to 3 people. Depends on how well they respond to you and also how much time you have. And I would ask, number one, in the capacity of their job, is there any part of it that you could shadow them? You might not be able to shadow them with clients, right? That's privilege information. But maybe you could shadow them if they're scouting something out or doing paperwork or just kind of putting together reports. Maybe if they won't let you shadow them, then maybe you just have a conversation by phone or take them out to coffee and just ask them, gosh, back when you graduated, are there some things you wish you had done early on in your career? You know, things that, you know, paying it forward now, advice that you would give me. Have you considered doing those?
In all honesty, I haven't done any of those. I'm more scared of beginning this new chapter in life.
Well, and sometimes it is scary, right? Are you, what scares you the most about this new chapter?
You know, thoughts about living away from my family, getting my own place, meeting new people, the amount of stress I may be under, you know, just a new environment in general.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Have you ever had a job before in your life?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And remember back when you got that job, it was kind of equally scary, right? Not the same,
yeah.
But scary, right? I mean, you got the job,
yeah,
but what if I lose
definitely.
The job? Or what if I hate the job, right? Or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But you got paid for that job, right? You got a paycheck. Right?
Yeah.
And did you buy things with that paycheck?
I most certainly did.
You certainly did, right? So the only difference is you're going to get a job in social working. You're going to make friends because you sound really adorable, actually, and sweet. So who wouldn't want to be your friend? The living away from home, I get that, but you know, you can always go home and maybe just maybe you'll even find a social working job near your friends and family. Like, you don't have to give up your crew. You don't have to give up your loved ones just to get a job. Just because you take a job, you know, a town away or a state away doesn't mean you can't eventually get some experience and make your way home. And personally, I recommend that. Whenever I see people that take jobs far away from their family, they feel that disconnection. And later in life, they're like, oh man, I wish I wasn't so far away. So I would strive for that if you could. And then now you're just going to be taking that paycheck and you're going to be putting it towards bills, dun, 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 dun. You know, the bill of an apartment, the bill of a mortgage, right? But also, you're going to be taking that paycheck and I want you to actually do some nice things for yourself. Because social working is really a profession where I don't feel like they get paid enough. And you're going to be scattered with a lot of different dilemmas. So you want to make sure that you consider a massage or a trip, you know, some way to decompress. So when you make that money, have like a separate fund for a play account, something where you won't feel guilty spending that money. Also an account for your bills. Just kind of divide up your check so it goes different places. But I want you to think about one last thing before I let you go. Think about that client that you're going to serve. Maybe it's somebody abused. Maybe it's somebody neglected. Maybe it's somebody who has lost their way. They're homeless. They have an addiction. And then the thing is, they're going to meet you. And in their whole life, no one will have listened like you listened. No one will have asked them thought-provoking questions like you asked them. And you are going to change their life. So while sometimes it's scary to graduate and scary to get that professional job and scary to move away, keep your eye on the ball of purpose. Keep your eye on that difference that you're going to make in your client's life. Do you see that?
Yes.
So I personally am excited. Are you excited?
Yeah. Definitely.
Okay.
Some things have been clear that were mine.
Well, one more time. Are you excited?
Yes,
you are excited. Okay, good. Whew. I want you to go out there and thrive and do great things. I'm so proud of you, and happy graduation, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you for calling in. And for everybody listening today, it is about choosing to love, choosing a profession you love, choosing a romantic partner to love, choosing a place to live that you love. There's so many ways in which we can go as we live full out to really be proud of the life that we're living. You know, this game of life, we're all lucky to have taken that first breath. We're lucky to go through the highs and the lows. So live big and don't forget to smile even through the tearful moments, okay? I'm Nancy Soleri. This is the Living Full Out Show. Stay with us. We're going to be coming right back with Trish Kendall. We'll be back.
Vaccines are one of the greatest public health success stories of the last century.
Come on, sweetie, let's blow out the candle.
And today, the CDC recommends vaccines to help prevent more than 15 diseases.
Happy 12th birthday.
Vaccination is important, not only for babies and young children, but throughout your entire lifetime.
Happy birthday, Mom.
To learn more about vaccines for all stages of life, talk to your healthcare provider or visit lifetimeofvaccines.com. A public service of Healthy Women and Merck.
New fuels are being sold at gasoline filling stations in certain locations. Today, you can buy gas with 15% ethanol, 30%, or even 85%. But these ethanol fuel blends are not best for your mower, chainsaw, or generator. I'm Chris Kaiser, president of the Outdoor Power Equipment Institute, to remind you to look before you pump. Only use gasoline that is E10 or less in your small engine equipment to keep it running strong. Get more information at lookbeforeyoupump.com.
The cornerstone of quality medical care is a close doctor-patient relationship. Hi, I'm Representative Garen Tarr from Alaska and a member of Women in Government. As a patient, you rely on your doctor to prescribe treatments based on extensive consultation after receiving an appropriate diagnosis, as well as their full understanding of your specific conditions and their expert opinion about what is best for your health. It may often take a long time to find the right treatment regimen that works for each patient, especially if they're living with a chronic or complex condition such as cancer, MS, lupus, or arthritis. Even if you're stable on your medication, increased out-of-pocket costs or coverage restrictions may cause you to change to another treatment that may not be as effective. The treatment change can also happen at the pharmacy when you receive a medicine that's different from the one you had been taking. Be sure to keep an eye on any changes to your treatment and talk to your doctor about medication options and your course of therapy. For more information, please visit womeningovernment.org.
I was facing foreclosure. I was desperate for help.
I paid them $1,500 and never got the help they promised.
Don't let the fear of losing your home make you the victim of a loan modification scam. Remember these facts to protect yourself. It's illegal for most companies to charge fees in advance, no matter how small. No company can guarantee they can modify your loan or stop a foreclosure. And never send your mortgage payment to anyone but your lender. The easiest way to avoid a scam? Don't pay for a loan modification. Get free help from a HUD-approved counseling agency now. To learn more, report a scam, or find out if you've been a victim, call 1-888-995-HOPE or visit loanscamalert.org. That's 1-888-995-4673. And loanscamalert.org.
Know the signs. Get the facts.
It's been called the Great Pretender because more than 16 million Americans have the red-faced skin disorder called rosacea, yet most don't know it. Many think the bumps and pimples are a return of teenage acne that will eventually fade. Others think the facial redness is a sunburn that never went away. It can even affect the eyes, causing irritation that could lead to vision loss. Yes, rosacea is the great pretender because it mimics so many other disorders. And without proper therapy, rosacea usually gets worse and can seriously disrupt people's social and professional lives. But it doesn't have to. Over the years, advances in medical care have made the goal of clear skin possible. If you or a loved one has a red face or bumps and pimples that won't go away, see a dermatologist for diagnosis and treatment, or visit the National Rosacea Society at rosacea.org.
You're listening to Living Full Out with Nancy Soleri. With Nancy's expertise, you'll learn how to embrace your potential and strive for success. If you have a question or need further support, send us an email at connect@livingfullout.com. Now, here's Nancy.
Thank you for joining us today. I am Nancy Soleri, and this is the Living Full Out Show. And today we are talking about choosing to love. And every show, we try to bring you an inspirational guest that really demonstrates the theme of the day. And I couldn't think of anyone more perfect than Trish Kendall, because she had a lot of reasons to throw her hands up in the air and say, you know what, I don't trust love. It's just not for me. But she rallied, she fought through the fire, she climbed her way through a drug addiction, and on her terms, she decided to love. We're going to share her story with you now. Welcome, Trish, to the show.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi.
So good to hear your voice again.
Oh, you know, I feel the same way, sister. Oh, two sisters from two different mothers, but I definitely have always adored you, because I know you grew up some of your time in the Northwest, just like I did in Washington.
Yeah.
And but I want to take our audience back a bit, because you did not grow up like every little girl, and there was a really important moment that changed your life really forever. And that was when your dad, you were looking to, you know, help out and play with some ponies, and your dad invited you to come down and join him in a stable. And what happened that day?
That was, I was 6 years old, and that was the day that my dad molested me for the first time. Shockingly. Obviously. And it continued from there, but it happened in the stable, and subtle, but horrifying, and changed my life forever.
And your family was really under this tear of your dad, all of you really, because he was a Jekyll and Hyde character, and, was, you know, loving one moment and I guess a monster in some ways the next. And your mom had a nervous breakdown when you were 8, which kind of took her out of being available to you emotionally, which had you from 8 to 13 depending on your dad. This person who was abusing you was also your caretaker. That must have been a really confusing time, I would imagine. How did you manage that?
Oh, and Nancy, hearing the words just come from your mouth give me a pit in my stomach. I didn't manage it well. The way I managed it as a girl was to compartmentalize, for sure, which carried over into adulthood. And, you know, what I mean by that is, you're right on. My dad was the one that cared for me on a daily basis, whether it was pouring my Cheerios or walking me to the bus or helping me with the ponies, you know, helping with a newspaper route, like all of those things that you would think that a parent should do with their child. And at the same time, he was waking me up in the morning with his hands on my body. And so the way that I learned how to deal with it was to compartmentalize the two people. And for me, I kind of separated who my dad was.
Now, your sister, which has been a really important figure in your life, which we'll talk about.
Yes.
I love my sister, too. Love those sisters.
I know. See, but, we connect.
I'm telling you. But the thing is your sister was the one that suspected. Your sister was the one that got your mom to open her eyes and ultimately divorce your dad. Now, what I think is interesting is, you know, one would think, okay, they got divorced, okay, the touching stopped, okay, now we can get back to life as it should have been or could have been, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you actually then ended up being kind of swayed into drugs, whether it was pot and, you know, then eventually meth. And what was it about drugs, literally at 13 years old is when you started, What was it about that that allowed you to go to that new, different reality?
You know, two things. One would be that I didn't use drugs as a way to party. That wasn't it. But when I was introduced to smoking pot and dropping acid, that was my first preview into this other world where I wouldn't have to think about what had happened to me almost on a daily basis or on a reoccurring basis. And so it took me to this little different world. That was one. Two would be that I felt weirdly powerful when I was using drugs. And I felt like a different person, a powerful different person. And I liked that.
Mm. Now, listen, everybody, we don't want drug sales to go up right now. Okay, we're not saying
no.
Go for drugs for power.
No.
But let's be clear,
that was a false belief that, like, took me to almost, you know, death. So,
yeah,
I lost everything.
Yeah, and I mean, your dad, you know, he, over time, you know, he did pay for, you know, your apartment. He did pay to keep your lifestyle going. But I just feel like, Trish, so many people really should have done more early on. And I get that when somebody is in a drug state, you know, they do go underground. They do lie. They do leave out details. They don't ask for help. But, I mean, I also imagine in some ways being on meth, you're not, I'd be surprised that most people didn't call you out.
Yeah. You were right on. I did go underground. The people that did call me out, so I wasn't physically in the same place as my sister. I lived in Tacoma, Washington. She was in Fort Hood, Texas. You know, and back then we had phones, but we didn't have, obviously, these phones, so she couldn't see me. She called me out a bit, but I lied. I did have some friends in Tacoma that did not follow my path to destruction. They called me out and eventually walked away from me because I was pulling everyone around me down. And so what I ended up with is drug dealers, gang members, and people that were in my world. So we all, just went down together.
Mm. Which is so interesting because that's not you. I mean, the you of today is like mom. And I mean, you've been said one time, I think that, you know, you live kind of this now boring life. And so that is just, it's like more than a 180 that you have done in your life. But I think it is important that as we navigate through the show, that we talk about how you went from this place of despair, this place of, you know, what's the point? I might as well take that last hit of meth and call it a day and check out of this life. But you chose to not do that. So, Trish, I want you to stay with us. And
great.
For everybody listening, we're listening to her story right now and, you know, her search for love, her need to feel, you know, invited, welcomed, a sense of safety. We all have that. So stay with us. You're going to learn a whole lot more listening to her story. I'm Nancy Soleri. This is the Living Full Out Show. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Living Full Out with Nancy Soleri.
I was feeling so alone.
I was going through a really difficult time.
I was embarrassed and a little scared.
I didn't want to bother anyone.
I didn't think they'd understand.
I thought it would just make things worse.
It was tough at first, but I did it. It ended up taking a huge weight off my shoulders.
I feel a lot better.
I'm glad I asked for help.
I asked for help.
I asked for help.
I asked my teacher.
I asked my aunt.
I asked my dad.
I asked my mom.
I asked the Trevor Project.
Now, I feel like I can get through this.
I know that I'm brave.
You can do this.
You can do this.
You can do this.
Ask for help.
Ask for help.
Ask for help.
Ask for help.
Whatever it is, ask for help.
If you're thinking about suicide or need support, call the Trevor Lifeline at 1-866-488-7386. Trained counselors are there to help 24/7. Ask for help.
More than 1 million wild animals are killed each year, illegally. Poaching is just one of the risks animals face at our hands. I'm Tom Barry. I'm an actor. I grew up in the beautiful rural countryside of Ohio, where animals roamed freely in the open forests. I have a deep concern to help preserve those open spaces for our wildlife friends so they can live and thrive like they used to. Destruction of their habitats threaten their very existence. The best way to protect wildlife is to protect the land where they live. The Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust works with private landowners to protect wildlife, to preserve natural habitats, and establish permanent sanctuaries. To learn more or to work with the Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust, call 800-729-SAVE. That's 800-729-SAVE. Or visit wildlifelandtrust.org. Thank you.
Nice turn, Jill. Toby, isn't your sister doing a nice job as a new driver?
Sure. Hey, by the way, Dad, have you ever smoked marijuana? It's getting legalized everywhere, so it's okay to do now, right?
OMG, Toby, are you serious?
It's not legal everywhere, and it's not legal for kids at all.
This conversation can happen anywhere, and your kids need to know the facts. 76% of teens agree that with legalization, teenagers may be more likely to experiment with marijuana.
Legal or not, marijuana is harmful to teens' developing brains and can cause permanent damage. It could also cause heart and respiratory problems.
I heard it could lead to using other drugs.
61% of teens agree that teenagers who use marijuana are more likely to try heroin.
But marijuana has been around forever.
Sure, but the type that's out there now is stronger than when I was younger, so it's really important for you two to be careful.
I never thought about that.
Well, now's the time to start thinking about it.
Now's the time to talk to your kids about substance use. Learn more at rosecrans.org.
Did you receive a call or message that mentioned Social Security and demanded immediate action? Did the caller know your Social Security number or other personal information and tell you that your Social Security number had been used in connection with the crime? Did you feel worried that your Social Security number might be suspended, your bank account might be frozen or seized, or you could be arrested? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, demand your personal information or instant payment, email or text you pictures or documents, or use a real government official's name to gain your trust. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Do not be fooled. Hang up. Ignore them. Report this criminal activity to the Social Security Administration Office of the Inspector General at oig.ssa.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
You're listening to Living Full Out with Nancy Soleri. As a life coach, Nancy can teach you how to stay strong under pressure and work through challenges you face. Being legally blind, Nancy inspires others to be resilient in overcoming obstacles and live full out. You can ask Nancy for advice in your life on relationships, finance, business, health, and more. Just call in at 800-333-0001. Once again, that's 800-333-0001. Now, here's Nancy.
Welcome back. I'm Nancy Soleri, and this is the Living Full Out Show. And today we're talking about choosing to love, and we're continuing our interview here with Trish Kendall. So, Trish, I'd like to welcome you back to the show.
Yes, hi.
Hi. Hey, you know, I always want to be careful when we talk about whether it be sexual abuse or drug addiction or suicidal thoughts to have people stay in the place of, you know, the despair of one's story. And I know you did hit that rock bottom moment. I know that you were steps away from ending it with one last shot in your vein. But your sister got to you by phone.
Yeah.
Your stepbrother physically got to you. And you found your way to Texas. Somehow, the grace of God, timing, family, your willpower, your ability to choose, you got yourself to Texas. But your sister, it was really important, and she knew you better than anyone, that you learned how to love. And they made you when you, as a drug, you know, you were a drug addict, right? When you came to live with them, they made you sign a contract. And what was that contract?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. And Nancy, you just speak it all so beautifully. We entered into a two-way agreement, and my sister and her husband, living on the Army base of Fort Hood, Texas, their side of the agreement was things such as I needed, in order to live with them, living with them was conditional. I agreed to, or I had to agree to, finish outpatient detox, participate in Narcotics Anonymous, see a therapist, which was like, that might have been one of the biggest, like, are you kidding me things that I thought at the time. And, you know, but they also, within their side of the agreement, they asked me to participate in family meals. They had two young children at the time, a five-year-old little girl and a three-year-old little boy. So I had to have family meals with them. I had to have a family meeting with them. And this was in the contract. So there was daily family connection points that my sister and her husband had me agree to participate in versus what I wanted to do was just hide away into the bedroom and sleep or escape.
Well, and thank goodness for contracts. And again, thank goodness
I know,
for right. your sister, because you held to it. And
yes.
And that was just getting your way back to the love of family. But having been sexually abused by your father and all the other losses in life and feeling that disconnection and being around all those seedy people with the drugs and all that, you had different relationships over time, some with women that were emotional and some with men that were physical. But you ultimately ended up with Joe, your husband of today. But even that wasn't a walk in the park. It was really, it really took three tries to get it like nailed down in terms of this is my guy. How did you finally decide to love a man? Because I would think you would be scared of men for the rest of your life.
Yeah, and you're right on. It took a long time. So if we put a time frame on this, I was 20, almost 21 when I lived with my sister and her husband. I met Joe when I was 32, and we got married when I was 35. So just like to give that leap there, through that time, I had made different choices that helped me experience what love feels like. And I don't mean love the emotion, I mean love the verb, what giving love and receiving love feels like. And I practiced that and learned that in more safe environments than with a man. You know, I practiced that within my employer. I practiced that within a community of women that I met. And I tell the audience that because that helped me grow and become ready when I met Joe to decide if I wanted to continue to withhold and be guarded with a man that I clearly had strong feelings for, or if I was going to take a risk and be more vulnerable and choose to not withhold or withhold less love in order to establish a relationship with him. And that took a lot of time and a lot of patience on his part and a lot of therapy on my part and communication between the two of us. And it did not happen overnight.
Well, and I think for people who are looking for love, you know, that is a very well explained process because it is kind of testing the waters and growing and it's, you know, walking before you run, right? And and then you ultimately did decide with Joe to have kiddos. And interestingly enough, a full circle moment came back around to you when your 7-year-old decided, Mom, you know, I'd like to go ride ponies. And you found yourself in a stable once again. How wild, how sad, how empowering was that moment?
When I chose to step inside the stable with Lily, my daughter, it at first was the scariest and just the scariest moment that I can remember. And once I did, like literally, Nancy, the act of stepping in the stable, the act of making that choice, the fear evaporated. It evaporated. And I realized that love is actually in my power to give and to receive. And at that moment, just at that moment, I chose to give it to Lily, despite what the smells and the sounds brought up for me. And for to me, the power of making that choice in that moment was liberating.
Well, I imagine that was a special day for you and her, and for you to courageously, you know, do that when you could have said, "Joe, I'll let you take this one," right? You did it.
Yep.
And, you know, as we round out today's interview and we talk about love, I feel like sometimes one of the greatest gifts we can give ourselves in the ability to step forward in love is to forgive. But sometimes we can and sometimes we can't. What have you done in terms of forgiving or needing to, or maybe not at all, your dad, your mom, yourself?
All three of those. You're right on. Somebody said to me at one point, I think this is a Buddhist saying, so I won't give it credit to the person who said it to me, is holding on to anger and withholding forgiveness is like drinking poison, thinking you're going to hurt the other person. And I held on to anger and withheld forgiveness, not only with my dad, but with my mom for a very long time. And once I chose to let that go, I felt free. Now, forgiving my dad didn't mean that he was in my life. To me, you could forgive and continue to have boundaries and not have somebody in your life. Forgiveness was about what I was doing and how I was feeling, not about an interaction with him. Forgiveness with my mom has manifested into her absolutely being a part of my life and a part of my children's lives. And I'm very grateful that I've gone through that process with her. And then forgiving myself. Oh, my God. I mean, that sometimes every day I beat myself up for things that I just need to give myself a break on. To this day, there are things that I did when I was a drug addict, and there are people that I hurt even after I became clean and sober, people that I hurt emotionally, that when I think about it, Nancy, I have a hard time forgiving myself.
Hmm.
So it's a practice effort of acknowledging that I made those mistakes and being able to do what I can today.
Mm-hmm.
To make a bigger difference in other people's lives.
Well, and I think that's really honest. And I'm also just kind of curious, when you know, you didn't do drugs to party. You did them to deal with the pain. But you did that for a significant amount of time. Today, do you have addictive personality in terms of needing drugs or needing alcohol, or you know, what does someone do who's gone through an addiction like that, or do you sustain from all of it?
Yeah, I sustain. Now, today, being almost 50, I do have to tell the audience that I enjoy a glass of Sauvignon Blanc. So I do. In fact, a friend of mine's coming over tonight with her kids, and we will do that. But while I was recovering from drug addiction, I did not drink alcohol for at least a decade, if not more. And so to answer your question specifically around addiction, I think I will always, always be an addict. It's not that I could ever play around with a drug and feel like, first off, I don't even want to. But even if I did, I think it's just what, like, I am an addict. I'm just an addict that's been clean for, you know, oh my gosh, since I was 21. Yeah, it's just not ever be a part of my life. Just couldn't be.
Well, and we are the Living Full Out show here, right? And
you
know, the clouds have parted and love has entered your world. But what does Living Full Out mean to Trish going forward that really allows her to thrive?
For me, it is every day choosing in every interaction that I have, this interaction with you right now and your audience, every interaction choosing to give all of the love that I have. Love is a verb. Love is an action. And choosing to receive all the love that you want to give me. Not withholding, not being guarded, and embracing it all.
I got a lot of love. I got a lot of
Yay!
Love for Trish.
Yay!
Oh, can you feel it? Can you feel it? Oh,
yes,
Trish,
yes.
I got to tell you, girl, you really are a champion in this life, and I'm proud of you. And you have many fans here at Living Full Out. Thank you for sharing your story with
Thank
us.
Thank you, Nancy.
And wish you all the
Thank
best.
Thank you. Yeah.
And for
everyone.
We're going to be coming right back. I'm Nancy Solari. This is the Living Full Out Show. Stay with us.
I'm Alejandro Escovedo. Music has always been my life, but that was almost taken away from me by hepatitis C. Thankfully, I received treatment and stopped cancer before it started. Yes, cancer. Most people don't know there's a link between certain viruses and cancer. I didn't know, but I do now, and so should you. That's why I've partnered with the Prevent Cancer Foundation. The three most common viruses linked to cancer are human papillomavirus, or HPV, hepatitis B, and hepatitis C. Every year, more than 27,000 men and women are diagnosed with a cancer caused by HPV, and up to 65% of all liver cancers are caused by Hep B or C. These cancers are preventable. Getting screened, vaccinated, and treated isn't scary, but cancer is. For more information, visit thinkaboutthelink.org. Together, we can stop cancer before it starts.
Why? Why take a chance? Why risk a mistake? Why say something?
We all have reasons why we choose to ignore the things that give us pause, that seem out of place, that don't feel right. The word why can either paralyze us or empower us to stand up and protect what we love. So if you see something, why do you say something?
I see safe for my family.
I see safe for my friends.
I see say for my students.
We see say for each other.
I see say because all of this matters.
We all have something worth protecting, a why that unifies this community we're all a part of. So protect your everyday.
Report suspicious activity to local authorities. If you see something, say something.
Hello, I'm Ed Begley Jr., and wherever you call home, the sounds of wildlife connect you with a greater family of life. That's why you shudder each time you see woods, marshes, meadows, or grasslands being destroyed. You know that countless birds and other wild animals are losing their homes, the greatest threat to their survival. Among the growing number of threats to wildlife, habitat loss is the most devastating. The Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust offers a humane solution, working with private landowners to protect habitat as permanent safe havens for wildlife. When you hear the familiar wild voices you love, remember, your voice is the one that can speak for wildlife and for the land they call home, ensuring that it stays forever wild. To learn more, to work with the Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust, visit wildlifelandtrust.org.
Hello. I'm Marissa Jarrett Winoker. Performing on stage takes mental and physical preparation. But one thing I never thought to prepare for was cervical cancer. 91% of cervical cancers are caused by the human papillomavirus, or HPV. One in every four Americans is infected with HPV. For many people, the virus hides inside them and they never develop symptoms. But for others, HPV links directly to cancer. My cancer almost ended my career. It almost ended me. The good news is there are vaccines that can protect you or your children from cancer. The HPV vaccine is recommended for children 11 to 12 years old and a catch-up vaccine may be an option for teens and young adults. Talk to your doctor. You don't want HPV hiding inside of you. Go to thinkaboutthelink.org to learn more. Together, we can stop cancer before it starts.
When it comes to choosing to love, I want you to get excited. I want you to think about, if somebody were to love you, how would that make you feel? You'd feel warm, you'd feel safe, you'd feel like your heart was beating fast, you would feel like you could conquer the world. And you want to give that same feeling to others. That is what it means to live full out.
You're listening to Living Full Out with Nancy Soleri. As a professional motivational speaker, Nancy can assist you to blow through your setbacks and start living full out. If you have an inspirational story you want to share, email us at connect@livingfulloutcom. Once again, here's Nancy.
Thank you again for joining us today. I am Nancy Soleri, and this is the Living Full Out Show. And today we're talking about choosing to love. And I want you all to know that the circumstances we all find ourselves in are going to be different. So no one can exactly say, oh, I completely know what you're going through, because everyone walks a slightly different path. But I do try to share examples within the show, you know, from my own life that I think are relevant. And when I think about choosing to love in my life, there's three times in my life I really had to rally. One of them was after my parents divorced. My dad got remarried, and, you know, it was just tough because, you know, that family kind of had their new unit. Our family was going through struggles, the one he left behind. And I remember I invited my dad down to Santa Monica, California, where I was living at the time, and he lived in Washington. And I chose to understand why he made certain choices of having an affair, and I chose to understand how he grew up and maybe how that manifested, you know, as he had kids. But more so, I chose to forgive. And that is a form of love. And from there, when he was taking his last breath due to brain cancer and other illnesses, I was able to really love him in his last hours and days. And then I think of you know, loving through losing my vision. Because when someone has a disability and you lose your eyesight or you find yourself in a wheelchair, you know, it's easy to get disgruntled. It's easy to have some really hard powwows with God, or to feel as though, you know, life is never going to work out. I'm going to be a victim. And I had to choose to trust God. I had to choose to believe that all of this was meant for something. Now, ironically, again, I can't see your face if you're right in front of me today, but what am I doing today? I'm doing a radio show. I don't need sight to do that. I don't need sight to speak. I don't need sight to coach my clients by phone. I don't even need sight to watch my favorite Hallmark movies. I can just listen in. So, ironically, I didn't need to be upset about going blind. I chose to love myself, chose to love some elements of being blind. I don't see homeless. I don't see gray hairs and wrinkles, even though I might have them, right? I choose to see, you know, love, choose to see what I want to see. And the last form of love, I would say, for all of you looking for love, is don't give up. I talk to people all the time who have relationships and they found that person, that spirit, that person they can run with. And I always admire that. But I choose that, although I haven't found that person yet, I will find myself sometimes in bed at night saying, you know, wherever you are, mister, I love you. Have a good night. Or sometimes I'll find myself on a New Year's, and I haven't met him yet, but I'll say, you know what, Happy New Year's, wherever you are. I'll meet you soon, you know. And I choose love, but I choose to hold the space for love, that it's coming. Haven't met him yet, but he's coming. So it's really important, what I'm saying, is to choose the words that you say out loud to yourself, but also the words that you choose to filter into your mind. Those, I won't find that person. Those, I can't do it because I have a disability. Whether you say them out loud or you think them, they're not going to serve you. And this path of choosing to love, this path of having choice in your destiny as a whole, it all has to start with you. Remember that me and your family and your friends, we're just all a cast of characters in your novel. You are the star. You are the author of your life. You're writing it as you go. So don't try to skip ahead and look for that last page. It hasn't been written yet, right? You don't know what's coming. But you are the one that takes pen to paper. You are the one that makes every decision at every crossroad. And if you make a wrong decision, trust me, I've chosen some not so great apples over time, some not so great suitors. And I chose to say, well, let's just transition out of that relationship. You know, I haven't made every business decision perfectly, but you know what? I'm proud of where we are today at Living Full Out. So I want you to trust yourself, leap out there. Remember to have fun. That's what Living Full Out's about. So love doesn't have to be dun, 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 dun. It doesn't have to be serious. It can be fun to find love. It can be fun to give it away, to receive it, to have those butterflies, to have those sweaty palms. But again, you are the author of your life. You are the one that dictates the direction you go. You are also the one that chooses the words you say, which resonates through your body, which puts you into action or non-action. So just know that the entire Living Full Out team is right beside you every step of the way. We've got John and Jake and Crystal and Caleb and just so many people that want to make sure that you leap away from today's show choosing love, but also choosing to live full out. And not every day is going to be perfect, but you know what? You're living. Your sweaty palms, your butterflies, you're smiling. You know, you're amping up even when the cards fall down. Have fun, everyone. Live full out. I believe in you always. See you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Living Full Out Show with Nancy Soleri. To learn more about this program, visit livingfullout.com for the latest episodes. Connect with the Living Full Out community by following us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and subscribing to our YouTube channel. Here's to you, Living Full Out.